The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not,' but later changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is full of anger. There is a tension about this reading and the players, the people who are involved in the midst of this. There is a lot of anger, a lot of conflict going on. Most of us try to avoid anger and conflict. We don't like it when we're around it. It ties our stomach up in knots. We feel uncomfortable. For instance, if you hear two people out in the parking lot shouting at each other, it just tears you up in the insides and you try to get away. You cringe at hearing those loud voices in anger going after each other. And you worry about maybe it even leading to violence. Or if that anger is in the home, children pick up on it as well then too, and they're upset. They become upset. And even the dog will stick its tail between its legs and go hide behind the couch and whimper. We don't like conflict. We don't like anger. But in this gospel lesson, it's plain and it's evident and just full of it. But it was bound to happen. This was in the making for a long time. The disciples themselves had picked up on this conflict brewing, this anger that was brewing as well. When Jesus had predicted that he would be going into Jerusalem, that he would suffer many things, that he would be crucified on a cross and on the third day raised up from the dead, it was when Peter said, "Lord, we can't allow you to do that." And that's when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." But Peter had picked up on what was going to happen when Jesus got to Jerusalem. Peter was concerned for Jesus and didn't want that to happen, but it takes place now. Or in another story out of John's gospel, when Jesus does finally start heading towards Jerusalem, again, the disciples try to stop him. But Jesus explains to them that he must do this. And it's Thomas then who speaks up and says, "Let us go with him to Jerusalem to die with him." The disciples saw it coming. They saw this conflict happening. And so what's happening here in this story, we need to back up just a little bit. On the day before this story takes place is what we know of, or as we celebrate, as Palm Sunday, where Jesus enters into Jerusalem for the final time. And the crowds are waving the palm branches, they're throwing them down before him, and they're throwing their cloaks in front of him, giving them the red carpet treatment, and they're shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna to the God Most High." And they're excited. The town is full because it is the festival season. It's time for Passover, and people have come from the countryside. They have come from all over Israel. They've come all over from different countries throughout the world, and they're there to celebrate the Passover. They have made the pilgrimage there. So the city is full. It's bustling. And because of the crowds, there's always a tenseness. It may be a time of celebration, but there's always a tenseness anyway within a city full of people or a crowded place. There's always some kind of tension or excitement going on. And so the emotions are running high on the people. And when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, then he goes to the temple to pray. But when he goes to the temple, he is shocked and he is angered at what is going on in the temple, because he sees the tables of the money changers. He sees the selling of the sacrificial animals. He sees the profit that the temple elders are making off of all of this. And he sees the commotion. And he overturns the tables of the money changers. He lets loose the animals. He chases the animal, the people and the animals out of the temple. And he says, "My Father's house is a place of prayer. It is not a marketplace." And Jesus stayed in the temple that day, and he was healing people. The crowds were coming in to hear him. They were bringing in the blind and the lame, and he cured them. And the people were still shouting, "Hosanna." You can imagine how upset the chief priest and the elders were at all of this commotion going on. But they were frustrated because they knew that they could not confront Jesus right there. They could not have him arrested. They could not call the temple guards to come and take him away because of the crowds. The crowds were shouting, "Hosanna." The crowds came to see Jesus, and it would have caused a riot. So they could not confront him, and I can imagine their frustration, their anger was just building. That evening, Jesus left Jerusalem, stayed, I think, probably in Bethany. And I can just imagine the plotting and the scheming going on by the chief priest, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, rabbis, and all the other religious leaders. Now, rarely did these people ever agree on anything. I think a lot of times they thought their job was to argue with one another. They could not agree with one another on anything. But on this, they all agreed. Jesus has to go. We have to get rid of this person. And so they plotted and they schemed. And so the next day then, Jesus comes back into Jerusalem and he goes to the temple. And he is teaching in the temple. And they're ready to spring the trap on him. And that's where our gospel lesson picks up this morning. The anger has already started to build. The tension is there. Jesus knows to expect it. The disciples know to expect it as well. But the chief priest and the elders come with their trap. And they ask, "By what authority do you do these things? And who gives you that authority?" Now, you got to hand it to the chief priest and the scribes, the elders. They're not stupid people. And actually, they came up with a very good question, a question that goes to the very heart of the whole matter. But it was a trap. It was a trap. But that question goes to the heart of the matter. By what authority do you do these things? And who gives you that authority. Authority is at the root of the matter. It's the root of the matter for anger, not only here, it is a root of anger for all of us. Because if you think about it, that whole question of authority goes back to original sin. God had the authority. He had the authority because he was the creator. He had the authority to tell Adam and Eve, do not eat of that fruit of the tree, of knowledge of good and evil. But it was a question of authority, and Adam and Eve says, by what authority does God have us to tell us this? We want the authority. We want to have that power. We want to have that control. And so they ate of the fruit. It's an issue of authority. And here, as I said, it comes that they had the question right. By whose authority? They knew it was a trap. They knew that Jesus couldn't get out of this one because it was the chief priests and the elders who actually had the authority. They had the authority of the temple. Either by appointment or by election or by rotation into those positions or by their hard work of study and scripture and by their banter back and forth, their arguments with each other, the knowledge that they had gained, and also by birthright because they were of the line of Aaron and Levi, going all the way back to Moses when temple worship began in this fashion. They had the authority, and they knew Jesus did not have any authority. He had no credentials. He hadn't studied with any of the famous rabbis because they would have known. Some of these were the famous rabbis, and they certainly didn't give him the authority. The chief priest had never given him the authority. Jesus didn't have any diplomas. He didn't have any certificates. He did not have the training. He was simply a carpenter from some outlying area of Nazareth. By what authority do you do these things, and who gave you that authority? Now, Jesus had the authority, though, because Jesus is the Son of God. And God has all authority on heaven and earth. God is the giver of authority. Nobody had to give Jesus authority. God is actually the author. He is the originator. He is the one who created. God is the one who has authority. It is God who is the one who can give authority. No one can give authority to God. But Jesus couldn't answer in this way. If he would have, then they would have had him. They could have charged him with treason, with blasphemy, as a heretic, and they could have had him arrested on the spot, and he would have been discredited in front of the people. So Jesus couldn't answer in that way. And so instead, Jesus asked a question of his own. And he says, all right, if you answer my question, I will answer your question. And Jesus' question then was about John the Baptist. Where did John the Baptist's authority come from? Where did his baptism come from? Okay, it's time to huddle up again for the chief priest and the elders, and they start to talk about it. And they think about the answers. One answer is his authority came from God. To be able to do that, to prophesy, to baptize, to preach, to tell people to repent, to expect the coming Savior. If they said his authority came from God to do those things, then Jesus simply could have said, then why didn't you listen to it? But then if they answered his authority was made up, he took it up on his own, then the people, they would have lost all credibility in front of the people. And again, riots may have started. And so they gave a non-answer. They says, we don't know. Now this whole question of authority, of who has authority, like I said, the scribes, are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, the elders of the people. They did have authority. It had been given to them. It had been, they got it through election. They got it through appointment. They had it through birthright. But it all comes down to one thing. Their authority comes from people. And they saw that as a supreme authority. From one way or the other, it's been handed down to them by people, by humankind. It is man-made. Jesus' authority on the other side is the original. It is the author of all. So Jesus then also tells them a parable, the parable of the two sons. And at the end of that parable, he makes the point, and he tells them that even the tax collectors and the prostitutes will enter into the kingdom of heaven before you will. Now you can imagine, they did not take very kindly to that. As I said, this whole gospel lesson is full of anger, and it does not cease. If anything, it continues to escalate. And it escalates all the way throughout that week until Jesus is finally arrested. He's put on trial. He is tortured. He is sentenced to die. They hang him on a cross to die. And on the third day, he rises once again. There is grace. Even though there is so much anger in this lesson today, there is still grace here within this lesson. One of the things that is that line that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will enter into the kingdom of heaven before you will. God's grace is so great that the worst sinners, as they repent, are able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's a lot of times those who are at the bottom, those who hit rock bottom, know and finally realize, hey, I cannot do this on my own. I need help. I need assistance. I cannot do it. And that's when we call upon God. For the elders, the chief priest, they weren't there yet. But yet there is still that opening that God says, they will enter before you. There is that grace for them as well. When we depend upon ourselves, when we think that we have the authority to do the things that we do, when we rely upon ourselves, we are not recognizing that actually God has all the authority. God is in control. God controls all things. And that, if we go even further then, past this, until Jesus' last day here on this earth, the day that he ascends into heaven, he gives that great commission. And that great commission starts out, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Jesus does have all the authority on heaven and earth, but he gives that authority, or he gives some of that authority to us. Authority is important within our own lives. We hand authority to other people. Every time you go to the election polls, you are handing authority to somebody else. We need police officers have authority. Leaders have authority. There is a chain of command, a chain of authority in the military. We hand our authority to politicians. Teachers have authority. Parents have authority. Even students, children, have authority. Managers have authority. Hired workers have authority. God hands to us his authority in anything that we do, in any job that we have, and in any vocation. Our vocation is to serve God, to use that authority in order to bring that gospel message to other people. In anything that we do, whether it is as a politician, as a parent, as a teacher, as a student, we serve God through our vocation by that authority that God has given to us. To make disciples, to baptize, to teach, the good news of Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and earth belongs to God, but God shares that with us in order that others too may hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.